providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you're here with us today, both myself and my co-host. We're both financial advisors. Now, don't turn the dial just because
slow down.
Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We meet with people like yourself throughout the week. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. We, of course, this program covers many things related to financial topics and helping people to have some financial security and financial independence in their life and to be able to retire and maintain a same standard of living. And we also to help protect people from some of the things that Wall Street creates and some of the things that brokers are out there selling and pushing and hawking.
Actually, I think that the life insurance companies have every bit as much prey on the general public
as they do. You're right.
As Wall Street.
Yeah. Well, Wall Street is just...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not necessarily Wall Street. Just the financial services industry.
In and of itself.
In and of itself, you should be
And you see it now. In fact, John Oliver tonight did a piece on the fiduciary thing on...
Is he that comedian that's just online?
No. He's on an HBO show where he does social commentary. But I thought it was quite good. It was great. He actually talked about the difference between a broker who recommends a product to you and a fiduciary. And he put it in pretty simple terms that the broker may be recommending the product to you. So they go on a cruise. And he actually showed, can we get this on our website? Are we allowed to get this on our website? Let's get this on our website.
Yeah,
get a link on our website to this John Oliver tonight.
We probably should have tweeted it out.
Is it last week tonight? It's last week tonight.
Last
week tonight. But anyway, we're going to put a link to our website. But
MoneyMatters.com.
MoneyMatters.com. But he had a great commentary on the difference between a broker and a fiduciary. And I thought this fiduciary thing is really actually starting to go Main Street. So hopefully it changes our industry. It changes our industry for the better, that clients, people, the investing public, start recognizing the conflicts of interest in our industry, where people that are recommending investment products may not have your best interest at heart. They may not, nor are they required by law to have your best interest at heart.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, got a great program lined up today. We'll talk about some of those issues. We'll take your calls if you'd like to be part of the program. You got a question for us regarding something in your financial life? Or even non-financial, you're trying to figure out, we work a lot with people as they're approaching retirement age. Sometimes it's, I hate my job, how quickly can I retire? Sometimes we have those conversations, sometimes it becomes, maybe you should leave today, do something else.
And work longer.
I mean, sometimes we've seen that work out beautifully for people. Other times it's, no, how can I get retired? Or it's, how do I generate more income in this day and age? Or what's the best way to structure required minimum distribution? Or a number of different things. Anyway, if you want to be part of the program, the number to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766, and would love to take your call. So this last week, pretty interesting on the bond market this last week.
No kidding.
Because for the first time on this last Tuesday, we saw the German 10-year Treasury note drop below zero.
Negative.
Now, we'd seen this in the past with Switzerland, and the reason we saw it with Switzerland is because they don't participate in the currency of the euro, and so people have been throwing money into there, and they've been trying to make it unattractive. So they
don't attract foreign currencies. They said, let's just lower the interest rate to the point that if people give us their money into our bonds, that they're going to have to actually pay us to do so.
And then we've seen Japan have negative rates, and that was driven in large part by Japan trying to spur their stimulus, spur their economy. But with Germany, here's the interesting thing about it. it's really driven not so much by Germany, but by the European Central Bank, their equivalent of our Federal Reserve. Of course, with the European Central Bank, it's not just one country. It's the whole, everyone under the, that's under the Euro. So with Germany, their 10-year treasury on Tuesday dropped below, 10-year note, excuse me, dropped below zero, negative rate. And so here, this is
why this is relevant to you.
This is a bizarre time. And we've seen rates come down, even on the U.S. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago, the 10-year government bond in the U.S. was 3-something. And I thought, that's crazy. How could it be so low? And of course, every financial commentator for the last decade have been saying, well, surely rates are going to rise at some point in time.
And they did rise for a little bit.
We had the Federal Reserve increase interest rates a tiny bit. But we've seen our own 10-year bond drop well below 2%.
Again.
Yes, it's just amazing how low rates are. So if you're in Europe right now, in many of these countries, and you have a bank account, a checking account, they charge you for that. Not just like a nominal fee to get your checks or a fee because you used the wrong ATM.
They charge you per $100,000 of deposit.
You actually get back less money. I mean, in Switzerland, their one year is minus 1%.
Really?
So you put in $100,000.
You get $99,000 back.
Their equivalent of FDIC insurance, and you get $99,000 back, and you'll take that.
It is a strange world. So the expectation that Janet Yellen will be raising interest rates anytime soon? Not so much.
Well, most of the market says if it's going to happen, probably not till later. But it's been fascinating to see. I don't know if fascinating. It's been amazing to watch how quickly rates have dropped. And it's a place where this is one great experiment right now. We've never been here.
And one of the reasons is that it actually drives assets into riskier assets.
So here's how this actually works in real life. Let's say you are a bank in Europe, or even a bank in Germany, let's say, for example.
Okay,
right? And rates are essentially negative. As a bank, depositors come in, they deposit their money, or as an investor, as a saver, this is what we all do. We deposit our money at a bank. The bank then takes some of it and keeps it on reserve.
Yes.
And then loans out the rest. And the money that the money they can't loan out, if they can't find loans, they have to put on deposit somewhere. Well, if they're putting on deposit where the interest rates are negative,
it costs them money.
So you come in as a customer, it's costing them money, almost like, oh my gosh, we need to make more loans fast. And what ends up happening, it pushes down credit quality by its very nature. It has to.
It degrades the quality of the loans the banks are making. Because what they're doing is they're trying to make a profit as well. So they're going to lend this money to less qualified people than they would a year ago or 2 years ago.
They're kind of forced to.
Yeah, in order to
stay in business.
Yes.
They want to stay in business.
To turn a profit.
They're funny like that. They want to stay in business.
And we've kind of seen a little bit of the replay of the credit markets here in the U.S. with the degradation of the quality of the loans that corporations will lend to banks. Specifically?
So here, there's a couple of things to think about as an investor. First of all, you realize there's roughly $10 trillion right now in money that has negative rates on it.
I did not know that.
On a global basis. $10 trillion invested at negative rates. So most people say, well, rule number one of investing, get your principal back, right?
Yes, always.
$10 trillion today.
At negative. So they broke rule number one, which is it's return of principal, and then it's return on principal.
Then again, we have some economies that are actually in a deflationary environment, so the real return might still be positive. But here's why long-term rates are dangerous in this environment. And it's tempting right now as an investor looking for yield, saying, I need to get higher returns, I need a better yield, and chasing going out longer on interest rates. So let's say we have a 10-year interest rate, a 10-year bond, whether it's a government bond. Let's just say the interest rate is nothing right now.
Okay.
Because some of them are. Actually, I pulled this from a table that said 0.5% because that's what Germany was just a week ago. So a 1% increase, if rates go up by 1%, you'll see a 9% loss in the value of your bond.
So you put money into the investment, right? $100,000 and interest, and it's earning 0.5%. Interest rates go to 1.5%. Your account value is now worth $91,000.
If there's a 2% rise in interest rates, you'll see a 17% drop in value. If there's a 3% rise, you'll see a 24% drop in value. That's on a 10-year. The longer your maturity, the more risk. There are British 50-year bonds right now
that are paying
2%.
Wow.
Investors are willing to lock up money for 50 years at 2%.
I think they're probably thinking that the interest rates will actually go lower, and that's
buying exactly
the bond.
What it is.
That's why they're buying the 50-year bond.
Someone's making a big old bet
that interest rates are going to go lower and they're going to get some principal gain.
Odds are they're doing it with other people's money.
Yes.
Because that's how hedge funds and stuff work oftentimes. So this is just an interesting time. And as an investor, you really need to be careful not that you don't have a lot of long-term bonds in your portfolio. And sometimes you don't know what's in there, but you're going to want to take a look. And
your advisor should know what's in there.
Talk to your financial advisor. If you don't know what the duration of those bonds is, those bonds are, and I have a conversation with it. It's just an interesting time. And the reality is that this is the world we are all in today. And everything is really kind of based off of these rates. Rate of return assumptions for your retirement accounts going forward have to be lower than what they were 10 years ago. That's just reality. We like it, we don't like it, whatever the case is, this is the world we're in. Sorry to be we started off the show kind of on a bummer note. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue on, take some calls, and talk about some more topics. 1-888-2-HANSEN. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-242-6766. To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Was that you? Was that you?
Yeah. Anyway, Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
This is one of those songs I always listen to. When it comes on the car, I listen to it for the first 45 seconds. Or so.
And then you turn
I'm one of those guys, I'm a constant channel turn.
Oh, I'm terrible to drive with. Terrible to drive with. My wife can't stand it.
Because you're always, can't stand driving with you either.
Yeah.
Because you're all freaking out all the time. You're moving around and you can't use like the auto climate in your car either. It's like, it gets a little hot and you'll crank it down to 60 and then I'm freezing. Like, Pat, it's freezing. Oh, and then you turn up to 80, you know.
I've been called anxious. Just a tad anxious.
But I'm always like, I've got... As a matter of fact, when I buy a car, one of the things I look for is how easily I can change a radio station.
Really?
Yeah. Because most of them now have it on your
steering wheel. I just listen to the only stations I listen to is the one our show plays on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Come on. If you think that's going to get you some sort of...
accolades with management.
It's not. It won't.
Accolades, pretty management, much, accolades.
Pretty much assure you of that. Anyway.
All right. You want to go to a call?
No.
888.
I've got other things I want to discuss.
888-2-HANSEN. That's 888-242-6766. Let's talk to Linda. Linda, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Sure. How are you guys?
Good.
Wonderful.
You,
hi, Linda.
You are so funny. I absolutely love your show.
Well, thank you. We quite enjoy it as well.
She was talking to me.
I'll tell you, you guys ought to go on the road.
What can we do for you?
On the road.
That's my mom used to say that to me.
On the road.
Okay. The biggest problem in my life right now is I'm going to have to start taking RMDs next year.
Okay.
Because I will be at some point, believe it or not, 70.
A required minimum distribution. That's the biggest problem in your life is you have to take money from your retirement account.
Life is good.
No. Well, I know. It sounds you know, kind of trivial right now.
No, that's not true. I'm sorry to make light of it. It's just the life's pretty good if that's your big issue. You said that's my biggest problem right now.
So what's the question for us before Scott insults you again?
I turned 70 in January. Should I take it? I don't need the money, but I have to take it. So should I take it in January or should I wait until June where it can just keep, you know, making whatever little money it is until June? And, you know, at that point, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with the money anyway.
How big is the IRA?
About $300,000.
When you say take it in June, it is June.
I meant next year.
So thank you. So here's how the rules work. This, any money that's in retirement accounts, if you're retired, you must start taking a minimum amount later than the April 1st following the year in which you reach age 70 and a half. So if in 2016 you'll be age 70 and a half, you'll have to take it no later than April 1st. You can't wait till June.
No, 2017 is when I'm going to be 70.
Okay.
Next year.
Okay. Then it'll still be by April 1st of that following year.
But I don't want to have to pay the double tax. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what happens if you wait until the following year, you end up having to take two distributions in that year. And for some people, that can push them into higher tax brackets. So it's typically recommended, unless there's something out of the ordinary happening, it's typically recommended to take the required minimum distributions in that calendar year in which you reach age 70 and a half, not defer until the following spring.
But should I take it in January?
It doesn't make any difference.
Well, no, because if you take it in January versus December of 2017?
No, January as opposed to June when I would be 70 and a half. I guess that's what's been in my mind.
So here's what a lot of people do in your situation. It's not uncommon, Linda. It's kind of... life's kind of funny because what we found is those people that are always concerned about retirement oftentimes have saved enough. They end up having more than enough saved for retirement and find themselves in the situation like you're in, that they have this money in retirement account they don't really need. Versus those, there's also a lot of people that didn't really plan well and didn't save much, and then they're not in that position, obviously. So what a lot of people do at your point in life, Linda, with this situation is we'll just set up their account so every December, say, they'll have their required minimum distribution amount taken from their IRA and immediately deposited just into another account.
Yeah, minus
with the
taxes.
Same firm.
Minus the taxes.
Right. Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
But,
it's the government stuff.
Yeah. So whatever your taxes, 25%, 30%.
The challenge is, of course, automatically you're having a degradation on your account. You're having a reduction in your account. Because you're having that portion go to the tax man.
Let me ask you a question. Do you owe anyone money, Linda?
No.
You don't owe anything on your home?
Nothing.
How much money do you have? How much do you have in other investments other than your IRAs? How much money do you have in the bank or a brokerage accounts or something like that?
About $100,000.
Okay. And do you save money on a monthly basis? Are you receiving a pension that allows you to put money away on a monthly basis?
Yeah, I have two pensions and Social Security. So okay. I've got a little over $50,000 as an income.
Okay.
That's fine. I don't need it.
I know, Linda. Linda. You know, if you were sitting in my office, what I would tell you to do, I'd tell you to set it up on a monthly distribution and spend it.
Monthly distribution.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would set it. If you were sitting in my office and I said, Linda, you have enough money otherwise, money in the bank, your house is paid for. In a perfect world, you've got another 10 to 15 years of good health in front of you, if you're lucky.
Yeah, I know.
The reason I don't like doing the lump sums like this with my clients is because they don't spend it. And the idea behind this was you saved it to spend it. So, you know, if you want your kids to fly first class, do what Scott said. Pay the taxes on it, put it in a brokerage account, and let them fly first class. My theory, I'd send it to you on a monthly basis and have Linda fly first class and let those kids fight it out themselves.
Nice.
Well, actually, they have told me that. Go ahead and spend them, Mom. You got it.
So, Linda, we gave you the textbook definition.
I would agree with Pat.
I would set it up on a monthly basis. And that way, it's coming in. You know, it's a few hundred dollars a month. You'll spend it. You'll go out to dinner maybe a little bit more often. You'll go to movies. Maybe you'll treat your kids to... a dinner. That's what I would do.
Okay.
And I would I would have your brokerage firm, whoever manages it, they should actually be doing the calculation for you and resetting that distribution on an annual basis. That's what we do at Hanson McLean. Yeah. So we answer the client's questions like we just did, and then we give real life recommendations, which is spend it, spend it, spend it.
We don't always tell people to spend it.
Not always.
Yeah.
But well, I've heard a number of people have been the same thing. It's like, when should I take it? When should I take it? So I never got a real clean cut. Okay, this is what.
Actually, Linda, if you were sitting in our office, I'd start your distribution in January and let it go.
Okay.
All right.
Or even today.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to starting it today.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, pensions. Probably a cost of living adjustment on at least one of those pensions.
Yeah.
Social Security's got cost of living.
Not this year, I didn't. No.
Well, that's because there's not really any inflation right now. You got a home that's paid for.
Yeah. I wouldn't have any problem starting it today.
Okay.
And then having your investment firm reset the required minimum distribution every year. All righty?
Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
Guys, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
We wish you well. You know, I kind of keep waiting for one of these years Congress to change some of the rulings behind required minimum distributions.
They're a lot easier than they were 15 years
ago. Yeah, but that was IRS one day just came in and made the change.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting, Pat. So, we're encouraging her to spend some of her retirement income. Years ago, I had a couple, this is 20 years ago, long-term clients, still clients of Hanson McLean, but 20 years at least. And they never touched their retirement savings, never touched any of their assets. They had considerable, let's 7-figure asset.
Comfortable.
Yes. They essentially lived on their Social Security. Very modest lifestyle.
Happy?
Very happy. Yeah, wonderful people. But they didn't live large. Apparently they didn't like living large. And so we would come in for the review periodically and would look at their accounts and whatnot. And I'd often have this conversation about their spending. Look, it's just growing. You're not getting any younger.
Spend
Why don't you spend
more?
Some? And so after a couple of years, one day he comes in without her, and I said, where's, I'll call her Susie, because that's her name. Just kidding. No, I said, where's Susie? And he says, well, that's what I want to talk to you about. He said, every time she comes in here, she feels that you call her a cheapskate. And
that made you feel bad?
Of course
it made me
feel
bad. That wasn't the intent. The intent was that money is a tool. And you should, but for them,
it was security.
It was
a
security.
False sense of security, probably.
But a security nonetheless.
I mean, if they're living on their Social Security,
yeah,
the other assets probably, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's an interesting position. As financial advisors, obviously we manage people's portfolios, but it's much deeper than that. Most of the time, it's really figuring out what is important to somebody, what are the real values, and designing the financial plans and the financial programs so that they will match up with those values and help people really live the life that they intend to live. And for sometimes that means people having some extra income. Sometimes it doesn't. Everyone's obviously in a different position when it comes to income and assets and those sort of things. But I felt bad because that couple, their account has just continued to grow.
But they're happy.
But they're happy.
They're
but
happy.
And it will be spent.
Someone will spend it at some point.
And
in
we
time.
See what happens when.
Oh, yeah.
Their children.
Many, many times.
But maybe it's good to give some away.
Yeah.
You know, I love the way Bill Gates is spending out this season of his life. All these billions, and he's working full time with giving the money away. What are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
I'm thinking, how hard could it be to be Bill Gates and give that money away?
Oh, come on. I think actually more challenge. Come on, you know.
Oh,
it's
I know
challenging.
It's challenging to give it away, but
I got a bad problem.
I think he's flying around in the jet talking
we're up
to
against
people.
The clock. We're taking a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-Hanson. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Why? Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments, all on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Isn't this Aerosmith?
It is.
What am I talking about? So, what? A little story here. My brush with greatness.
Okay. We can hardly wait. Turn your volume up.
My wife and I were in Hawaii a couple years ago, and Steven Tyler, that's his name, right? The guy from Aerosmith.
Yes.
Yeah, because from American Idol. He was on American Idol.
That's right.
So, and he dresses interestingly.
Like a rock star.
he dresses like a rock star. Okay. My wife and I are in this little woman's boutique, kind of a high-end boutique.
Mm-hmm.
My wife makes sure that I don't retire young. Just kidding, babe. Actually, my wife is quite frugal. I don't mean it like that.
We were picking clothes out for Scott.
Yeah. No, Steven Tyler's in there trying on women's blouses.
Oh, how do you look?
I look pretty good.
Did you say anything to him?
I said, is that a 6 or a 4?
What conditioner are you using on your hair? We think we're fine.
Anyway, that's my...
Brushed with greatness.
Yeah, that was it right there.
That was great.
Wasn't it pretty interesting?
Oh, crazy.
I thought it was interesting.
Crazy good.
Huh?
Crazy.
Okay.
I feel like a brush with brushes of greatness.
Right there.
Sitting next to you when you had a brush with greatness.
What other brushes with greatness do I have? Kenny Loggins was my neighbor, next door neighbor when I was for about a year.
He wasn't great though, was he?
It was right after Loggins and Messina broke up.
Oh.
And he was on it. Yeah, he was kind of in between things, but he would come over and play his guitar and stuff.
Would he really?
Yeah.
You put a can out front and you throw change in it or what?
He was nice. He was nice to my family.
Well, that nice was nice. To my we've always parents. Thought, I think Kenny Loggins. Yes, very nice.
What other brush to greatness?
It's only an hour show.
Okay. As you can tell, I haven't led a very exciting life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Those only rock star.
All right, let's go to the financial stuff.
All right.
As much as I'd love to hear about how you met some rock star.
Why didn't I exactly meet
you?
I was a little kid. No, he actually gave me an instrument.
Oh, he did? That was nice.
And signed an album for me and stuff. All right, so we've talked about this before, but I think it's important to bring up again because it's just a great reminder of what one of the things you need to be looking out for as an investor in our industry. And this has to do with non-traded real estate investment trusts. Okay? So let's back up here for a bit. If you want to buy real estate, there's a few different ways you can buy real estate.
Lots of different ways you can buy real estate.
Lots of ways. The most common way that most of us think about is just going and buying, say, a rental property.
It could be a building. It could be a strip center. It could be a house.
But for most people, they're not buying high-rise buildings in downtown San Francisco.
That is correct, okay? Donald Trump.
So most people, they're buying real estate besides their own home, probably a rental house or two, maybe a vacant lot that they're going to sell.
We get the point. Yes, you can buy direct.
Okay.
We get the point.
You can also, if you want to lose your money quicker, partner with a developer as a limited partner.
High risk.
Right? Some local developer trying to raise some money.
Sometimes good return.
Sometimes good return.
But very high risk.
And usually, and the reason that is because of our experience, a lot of these developers, for the best projects, the ones that seem the most lucrative,
keep them in
house. They use their own financing and keep them in house, as Pat likes to say. And then for money that maybe there's a little more risk involved,
they will use your capital as to cover some of the equity, and they'll borrow against.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't even put up any of their own capital. They raise it all from the community. And, of course, we've had many of these people hit us up for our clients' dollars over the years, and we're happy to say we've never given $1 of our clients' assets to anything of these limited partnerships like this. It's not, there's some limited partner structures that aren't necessarily bad, but for most people, the problem with a limited partner, just like the term implies, you are a limited partner. You don't get to call the shots. Somebody else does.
You are sitting on the back of the bus, and you are just being dragged wherever it happens to go.
Yeah. So, but there's another common way, and this is sometimes recommended by financial advisors as a passive way to invest in real estate.
Meaning you put your money in, you don't have to do anything.
You don't have to worry about the evicting the tenant, as a client of ours we're talking to this week who couldn't get, been a year now trying to get this tenant out. Don't have to deal with those sort of issues because they're managed by somebody else. And a real estate investment trust, as long as the, what was it, 90 or 95% of their income is distributed to their shareholders, they don't pay a double taxation as most companies do. So it's a legal structure to own real estate. And there's some clearly some great opportunities for real estate investment in, by using REITs. But there are two different types of real estate investment trusts. One type is, you can think of it just like any other publicly traded company. So, for example, if I wanted to invest in oil, although that's probably a bad thing apparently anymore, coal.
Yes.
not supposed to invest. So I want to invest in oil. I can go out and buy ExxonMobil, trade on the open market. I can buy Chevron.
Traded. You know it's the traded price of it all the time. You can sell it a moment's notice.
It's a company that has to. So real estate, you can buy real estate investment trusts the same way. You can buy them so that they're publicly traded.
Traded, which means you know the price on any given day. You can get rid of it at a moment's notice, traded just like a stock.
That's the beauty of it. You know what the price is every day, and you can get rid of it every day. But there's another type that's been hawked.
Sold.
By
crammed down.
Brokers.
Pushed by brokers.
Now, they probably call themselves financial advisors because everyone calls themselves a financial advisor, whether or not they are truly a registered investment advisor or not. They call themselves financial advisors. And so these non-traded REITs, I know one broker in Northern California would call them uncommon investments, but they weren't uncommon. They were just
uncommonly bad.
Yes. So, but here's the part of the reasons we have not liked non-traded real estate investment trusts. One is they're non-traded. You can't get rid of them.
Yeah, you don't know when they're going to go liquid. You have no idea.
That's one of the main problems.
But you don't know what the price was until recently. And even then, it is an estimate at the price.
But secondly, it's the upfront costs that happen inside these products. So when they raise money, there's a cost. There's commissions that they pay to the broker, commissions they pay to the broker's investment house that he or she works at. There are other upfront costs that typically average around 13, 14%.
Which is, by any measure, an incredible cost associated with making any investment.
Well, fortunately, there was a new rule that just took effect a couple months ago that requires advisors to put the actual value of their these investments on the statements.
On the first statements?
Yes. So when someone invests
$100,000 and $14,000 has been paid out to everyone feeding at that trough of the real estate investment trust, non-traded.
So there's an article in Financial Planning Magazine, of which people like me read. Ann Marsh wrote this on June 8th, was distributed. And she highlights this financial advisor. We're not going to say anything. This is just from the article. So whether this is...
Oh, I read this article. I read this.
This advisor named Colin, I'll leave his last name blank. You can go find the article if you'd like. He said that he was having clients invest in these that were paying 12% commissions. Okay, this is what he says. He says his clients are paying 12% commission and other charges. But now with this new rule, he no longer sells these.
Why?
And his quote says, I don't want to have any clients ever saying, oh, yeah, by the way, how come this is $88,000 instead of $100,000?
Nothing has changed other than the disclosure.
That's correct.
Nothing has changed. The investment is exactly the same as it was 6 months ago as it is today. It's just that the disclosure laws have changed.
Right.
So this is a broker.
So here's the thing. There is a study done by the Securities Litigation and Consulting Group, Fairfax, Virginia, that went and looked at historical returns between non-traded REITs and traded real estate investment trusts. Over this time frame, the traded real estate investment trust averaged 11% per year on average. The non-traded ones averaged 4%.
Where did the difference go?
Commissions and
fees.
And non-traded, not it's not as public.
You don't have to disclose as much.
Who knows what else is going on?
Yeah.
Because oftentimes there's the management of the...
But I'll tell you, Scott, there are some great things taking place in our industry right now about disclosure. About taking back the veil of commissioned brokers and letting people really know what happens. Because we've been doing this show for 20 years, we rail on it. We are, because we see the carnage that takes place after someone has put their money into a non-traded REIT or a indexed annuity with a 10-year surrender charge on it.
All kinds of garbage products.
So I think things are getting better for the average investor.
I mean, that's why at Hanson McLean, we are a registered investment advisory firm, fee-based asset management. We put our clients' interests first by the way we're structured. And we certainly have never recommended a non-traded REIT in the history of our firm, and we don't plan on as well doing it in the future. So anyway, there you have it. We're taking a quick break. When we come back, if you'd like to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments. All on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All right, welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're sticking with us on this program.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. My daughter is 20 years old.
Okay.
It's kind of cool because she enjoys talking with me now.
Okay.
So I got that going
for me. She pretends. Because she knows that the gravy...
No, we had dinner the other night.
The gravy
it was
train
really
is,
nice.
The gravy train is leaving the station, so...
She wasn't all angry at me.
She didn't say, "Why do you hate me?"
But
my daughter never says.
We are a couple weeks ago. I hiked up Mount Shasta. It was all snow and had a great time doing it. And my daughter, it's like, "Dad, can we do a father daughter climbing trip, hiking trip?" And so
really?
We're looking at climbing the Grand Teton in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Really?
Sometime this summer. So
is
yeah,
she pretty athletic?
This last week I'm trying to figure out the right
date. She plays lacrosse, doesn't she?
Plays college lacrosse, so she's in phenomenal shape right now.
Well, that's nice. That's a nice story.
I know. She started by, I got this text, "Hey, Dad, you want to do a father and daughter trip?" Like, almost, it's like,
you know, I have a
whenever, you want to spend time with me? Whenever, wherever.
I have a similar story with my son at the Grand Tetons. He texted me a picture of the Grand Tetons when he was there a few weeks ago.
Oh, was he there on a road trip?
Yeah, it was
something?
A road trip coming home from college. But there was no invite.
No invite for you?
Well, there would have been an invite had I sponsored the road trip, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, my daughter did not say, "Oh, by the way, I'll pay my fair share."
No,
either.
Kidding.
It was pretty much...
If you'd like to join the show, if you have a story you'd like to share about your child, 888-242-6766.
It reminds me.
888-242-6766.
Remind me of years ago. We got I don't know if it came through an email or it was just maybe someone had called in and to a call screen and sent us the note on her screen here. It's like, "Would you guys quit talking about your personal lives and get back to financial matters?"
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, buddy, it's our show.
It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, so
we're gonna and in doing whatever we want, we want to talk with Dan in Alameda, California. Dan, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, hey, Dan.
No problem.
I was enjoying the adventure there that you had there.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Do you want to share a story about one of your children?
Well, yeah, I got all adult children, and you know they enjoy doing pretty much the same thing, you know, outdoors and hiking and all that kind of good stuff.
That's
it's a good thing.
What can we do for you regarding finances?
Well, here's my question to you guys. And I'm 62 years old, considering perhaps throwing in the towel after many years of working with my employer. And got a 401 that's sitting pretty, I should say, getting close to the goal that I want it to be. And trying to figure out, you know, once I reach it, what should I do with it? Where should I put it? Where can I safely secure it?
Dan, are you thinking 62 is your plan? Are you planning on retiring, or are you just thinking this is a good time to exit your one job and do something different?
I'm thinking of exiting and perhaps doing something in the near future, but I'd like to, you know, take a sort of a sabbatical, so to say, and figure it out.
Dan, were you receiving the monthly pension?
I have a pension that was frozen about maybe 15 years ago.
Okay, and how much would that be, approximately?
You know, right now it's roughly about, I think, if once I start dipping into it, probably about $800 or so. So it's not huge.
And you will not start Social Security, I take it?
Correct. I plan not to touch anything until I reach that retirement age, and you know, hoping I can figure out what to do with this 401, either, you know. Just
so do you plan on
the reason we're asking these questions is because this is all pertinent to what you'll do with your 401k. Because,
so do you plan on taking income from the 401k?
I hope not to.
Okay, so what are you going to live on?
Well, my wife's going to continue working.
Perfect.
And, we've got pretty much all of the home matters taken care of.
So you pretty much have no debt, and wife will continue to work for a period of time. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
And if you can get the wife to continue to work indefinitely,
ever,
then you have a lot of freedom.
That would be nice. I could climb a lot of money.
That would be nice. Not only do you have the financial independence, but you'd have all that independence through 9 to 5 as well.
Will your wife be receiving a monthly pension when she retires?
Just the Social Security.
Got it. And how much does she have in her 401k?
Zip.
Okay.
Zero.
So there's going to be a period of years where you're going to invest this for growth, what I'm hearing. And then you're going to turn it into a stream of income.
Correct.
Here's what I would do is I would roll it into an IRA.
Okay.
If you want professional management. Your 401k may be appropriate. It's probably, I'm hoping, a low-cost 401k. Some of them are low-cost. Some of them are not low-cost. But if you want professional management, which is to direct these dollars, give you professional advice on an ongoing basis, then you need to move it to an IRA and hire an RIA for your IRA. So the thing to remember in this is that there's two costs. When I talk about your cost in your 401k, there's always two costs associated with a portfolio. Always two costs associated with a portfolio. The first cost is the cost of the portfolio itself. So it's the internal fees of the mutual fund. The cheapest way to do it is actually to do it yourself, which is to go out and open an account at a discount broker and buy those appropriate mutual funds.
Or the individual shares, for that matter, be even less expensive.
If you're comfortable doing so. The other way is to hire a registered investment advisor and do that. And they will charge anywhere between 0.75% to 1.5% on average across the board. But the cost, that's one of the costs. The biggest cost you should be concerned about is what's called the cost of risk, which is how much risk does this portfolio have? So let me give you an example. If I build a portfolio at Hanson McLean, right? If I build a portfolio at Hanson McLean, I want to have less downside risk and more upside gain. So a well-constructed portfolio will participate in, let's say, 50% of the upside in the market and 25% on the downside. There's no such thing as a portfolio that will give you 100% of the upside and 0% of the downside. That's the unicorn portfolio. It doesn't exist. So people have a tendency to actually just look at the cost of the pure cost. How much money does it cost me to invest the dollars? But the cost of risk is what derails retirements. The cost of how much of the downside am I have? So when you meet with an advisor, you want to see some sort of modeling or portfolio modeling that will actually show what the downside risk will be as well as the upside gain. And that's predictive modeling.
And at this stage in your life, that is really important because The cost, just the management fees, that's one piece. I've never seen anyone's retirement been derailed by management fees, but I've certainly seen people's retirement been derailed by too much risk. And there blows up when something goes south.
And you see it in the press all the time. Cost. Listen, we agree. Costs need to be low. We think that that is important. But the biggest thing you worry about, the thing that keeps me up at night worrying about my clients is, listen, how much downside risk is there? Downside risk.
Right. What happens if we have another financial crisis, which will look different than last
one? So whoever you choose, you want them to show you some modeling, which is, this is how this portfolio will predictively react in these types of markets.
And your best kind of portfolio, the best investments is one that's designed to start spinning off an income when your wife eventually retires, when you're both eventually retired. So you need to still have some growth on that, and it might be for another several years.
So here's what I'm going to recommend. Go to our website, moneymatters.com. I've got about a 20-minute webinar called The 7 Personal Decision Points. And in fact, Chris Schweidler, can we send him a copy of Scott's book, moneymatters.com? For the rest of you, you can buy it at Amazon.
Or there's a discount at moneymatters.com/book.
And you then take that code and go to Amazon and you'll get a big discount. So, Dan, I appreciate the call. And we're going to send that book out to you. And then go to the website, moneymatters.com, and watch my little webinar on the 7 personal decision points, please. So, appreciate the call.
Appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, Dan. And the key really is to make sure that this portfolio is designed for growth between now and the time you're eventually going to take income. And with you having a small pension, your wife not having a pension, it's probably going to need to grow for some time.
And that's what the 7 personal decision points actually brings you through, this process of the retirement planning.
Yeah. So anyway, that music means that we are nearing the end of the program here. Of course, we are here every weekend at the same very time. And so make sure you tune us in next week. If you'd like, though, you can also get a podcast of this program. You can have it delivered to your mobile device every week. Go to iTunes, search Hanson McLean, get the podcast. Again, Hanson McLean, you get the podcast. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.